Okay.
George Cryer.
And where do you live?
Ashland, Kansas.
Okay, and how old are you?
60 years old.
Okay. When did you first become aware of the Starbuck fire that we'll just call the fire that started on March 6th?
11:45 when the page went out.
Okay. Were you called to mutual aid or was it our fire?
Mutual aid to Beaver.
And how far did you go?
Made it to Frosty Ediger's house.
And
that's where we met it.
Which truck were you on?
Fire 59.
Was anybody with you?
Nope, just me.
Okay, who else was at Frosty's?
Let's see, Englewood was there, and all the rest of Ashland Fire Department.
So how many trucks?
There was four grass rigs and two tankers from Ashland.
So why did you stop there?
That's where we met the fire.
Okay, where was it coming from?
Beaver, Oklahoma.
So it's coming up from the southwest?
Yeah.
Did it take very long for it? Oh, first off, when did you get there?
Okay, the call come in 11:45. I was supposed to work some calves that day. Called Dave, the fire chief, and he says, let me get back to you. And I said, all right. So I called my brother where I was supposed to work calves, and I said, there's a big fire southwest of us, and I might have to go. And he goes, well, if you need to go, go ahead. Dave called back, said, well, I could sure use another tanker. And I said, I'm headed to town. So it was about noon before I got to town. And then I drove as fast as I could to Englewood, and then they told me to go to Frosty Ediger's house.
So how far is that from Englewood?
It's they say it's a 15-minute drive.
Regularly. Not in a tanker.
Not in a tanker, but it took me probably 25, 30 minutes to get there. But I was delayed a little bit because I met the fire on top of the hill or just east of Frosty Ediger's house. And the truck stuttered, and I figured this was it. And it come back to life, and we went on down to Frosty's. Bill Nyer, the other tanker man, was almost out of water. So when he got empty, he took off and went back to Englewood to get water. And I stayed there and filled all the trucks up and everything. And then I was out of water. And
so how many gallons do you carry on your tanker?
3,000 gallons.
So how many trucks can you fill?
I filled up four trucks.
Okay. And then where did you get water in Englewood?
At the well there in Englewood, the electric well. But by the time I got to Englewood, the electricity was off. So there was no more water in Englewood. Gordon Harrington was down there with a small tank of water, so I got all the water I could off of him. And then there was a oil field tanker come through Englewood. I stopped him on the highway and asked him if he was hauling water, and he said yes. And I said, pull it over there on the side of the road over there because I'm going to need all the water you got. So that was the only water in Englewood at that time until they got electricity back on.
So when you went to Englewood, had the fire gotten to Englewood yet?
It was coming to us.
Okay, so did you just stay there and meet the trucks in Englewood? And
yeah. Bill sat in Englewood and waited for me because the smoke was so bad on the road. It took me, for the 15-minute drive it usually takes, it took me an hour to drive from Frosty Ediger's house back to Englewood because the smoke was so bad and the dirt was blowing and the wind had shifted again. And I couldn't see but out the driver's side door to see where the edge of the road was, so I just kind of creeped along, and I was really felt uneasy about it because I just didn't like being in a spot where I couldn't go somewhere.
Yeah. So, how fast was the wind blowing, would you think?
Oh, I suppose at that time it was out of the northwest, it was probably blowing 45, 50 mile an hour.
Yeah. Okay, so then did you fill all the trucks again while you were in Englewood?
Yeah, we did go ahead and fill. I filled up even some of the Englewood trucks. They made it back into Englewood. We tried to make a stand in Englewood, try to save Englewood. And finally, Englewood told us we better bug out and go back to Ashland because they was already evacuating Ashland.
Okay.
And I filled up the water one more time, and Dave says, just drive. We'll meet you in Ashland. I said, okay, I'm going to take the highway. And he said, okay.
Was it better going up the highway?
Well, once we got past where Donnelly McCarty used to live, there was no more fire. The fire had switched and went straight east there. And I went ahead, and that was, to me, a real awakening was when I went over the hill before just getting to Kiger Creek Bridge. I could see all this smoke from the north, and I'm going, where'd this fire come from? And that just, I knew we was in a losing battle then, because then we was fighting two fires, and we was behind on both of them.
So did you have radio contact then?
We had to go to talk around. At that time, the electricity was out. Our repeater was gone.
Burned in that fire?
Yeah, so we had to go to talk around or the 800 number.
So how much did you use your phones?
Oh, phones was quite a bit. I even had to turn my phone off a few times just so I could do my work, because people was calling me and wondering where I was at. How come I'm not over here?
Yeah.
And one of them was my dad. He was wondering how come I wasn't out there fighting fire on our place. And I said, I didn't even know it was over there yet. So we was still fighting fire here on the west side of town.
So where did you go to? Did you go back to the fire station? Or?
Yeah, I had to get more water. Once I made it to Garth Gardner's out there, I gave all my water up that I had on the truck. I had to come back town, get water again. Then I went back out to Garth, and my brother Jeff's house is on the north side of the highway, and so was Jerry Rhodes' house, and we was making a stand there and trying to save them houses, their houses. And
so how close was the fire? And it's coming from the north, right?
Yeah. That would have been the, I would call it Denton fire.
Oh,
because
yes.
It come from up there off of Denton's. It was right to us. I mean, it was coming right down through Buster Carter's ground out there and coming right at us. And
so what time? Do you know what time?
Oh, gosh.
Was it still light, or could you
tell?
Yeah,
it was still light. I would probably guess it was around 4:30 or 5 when I got back to Ashland. And then there was myself and Bill Nyer and, Raymond Vera and Francis Young had a truck out there from the fire department. He was helping us that day. And we stayed out there until probably a couple hours before dark, maybe about 7, and then we decided we'd go out to Dad's because he was on the phone again, and I told him we'd try to make it out there as soon as we could. Went back town, filled up water again. They told me I was going to have a tanker sitting at Max Amos's house, which he had to move because the landowner told him he had to leave. And
who was the tanker? I mean, where was it from?
The tanker was from out of Oklahoma, I believe. He was an oil field tanker. He had 5,000 gallons of water on. And I don't know where he went to. I never did see him again. We had a tanker come into my dad's drive up to my dad's house that come from out west here. I'll think of it here after a bit, but he sat there at the house. He had on 2,000 gallons of water. We fought on the north end of Dad's there for into the dark, and I finally said, I'm out of water. I got to go back to get water. Dave, the fire chief, he said, there's a tanker sitting in my dad's driveway. And I said, all right. So I went down there. We filled up with water, took everything he had. And then Tyson McPhail from off of Barbie's, he brought out another 2,000 gallons of water. And I had to suck it off of him because he had no way to pump it on me. So I got filled up with water. And then there was a guy from over at Plains. He had 1,000 gallons of water. I told him, just stay here because I'll be back. And he went ahead and filled up the other two grass rigs that we had there. And then we went back up north. And we fought fire. And we had a group of guys from... I was going to say Hoisington, but I ain't real sure if that's right.
So was it mostly Ashland people, or were you fighting with Mineola when you
never
were in
Never did see Mineola.
Did you see Inglewood just when you were down at Inglewood, or did you
just
see him?
Just when we was in Inglewood. I didn't see Inglewood until Tuesday afternoon. The fire was on Monday. Yeah, it was late Tuesday afternoon before I seen any trucks from Inglewood.
So did you spend most of your time north of 160, like on your dad's, and
through
the night?
Through the night. We stayed up there on my dad's fighting fire. It was mostly backfires that was burning back at us. And we ended up losing a grass rig. And so we was just fighting with one grass rig up there.
So when the pump went out?
Yeah. And then... they got it fixed and got it back out there that next morning in time to see the sun come up. I really didn't figure it was going to be that cold.
Yeah.
Because we actually had ice on the trucks from the water sloshing around. So.
Do you know how cold it got?
Well, it was cold enough to make ice.
So it had to be. So when did the wind shift? Did you know? Can you, or were you too busy fighting fire?
Just too busy fighting fire. One time the wind was out of the north, and then it went to the northwest, and then it was back to the northeast, and then out of the north again. So we just kept going, and we got what we could knocked out, and finally at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Tuesday, we had to come to town. We needed a break.
Yeah.
None of us have slept since Monday morning. Mm-hmm. You know, when everybody got to go to work on Monday. So Monday to Tuesday afternoon, none of us had any sleep at all.
Did you have any food?
Yeah, there were some sandwiches brought out to us. Dave, he brought some sandwiches out when he come out and relieved us with some guys that come up and helped us out. They didn't bring no truck. They just brought some manpower and helped us out that way. Yeah, I can't remember where they was from. But I know it wasn't Hoisington. It was out in western Kansas here somewhere. Man, the sun's come up and went down too many times.
Yeah. They came in a car, if I remember right.
They come to the fire. They brought... You know, all they brought was manpower, and which was helpful. You know, a lot of the guys got a little shut eye.
Yeah.
As far as me, no, I didn't get any shut eye because I was running around in the tanker all the time, and we went places that I didn't realize the tanker could go, but we made it through it.
So how far from where they're fighting fire do you set up the tanker?
I try to stay within at least 50 yards of them. The way they don't have to go so far to come back to me. And that way they can get filled and get back on the fire line before it gets taken away again.
What about gas?
Gas, most of the trucks carried their own gas. I run on diesel in my truck, so I was one time when I was in Ashland, I did fill up a diesel just top the tank off and make sure I'd have enough to go through the night.
So when you go fill up the tank, do you fill up at the firehouse or down at the city plant?
Had to go to the firehouse. That's the only place I could fill up. I had to fill out of a hydrant. We got a hose hooked to the hydrant there. And at that time, you know, the ground was pretty solid, but there, a lot of people had been using the hydrant there to fill their own tanks up with, and it was getting pretty muddy around there, but that's all right for me.
It's kind of that way. So, well, how did it make you feel when your dad called and said, I need your help, and you couldn't really come out and help?
I felt helpless. You know, it was hard.
What kind of things did you tell him?
Told him I'd be there when I could. He said, well, I can see it coming. And I said, just move everything out of the way from the house there. And Jeff and Dad moved all the equipment onto the wheat field. We was trying to get Dad to move and go to Jeff's house, being it was safer there. Dad said he wasn't going to leave, so everybody stayed around there until we had it kind of more or less under control where it wasn't going to come to the house.
So did you lose any cattle?
We didn't lose any cattle. We just lost the east side of the ranch. Fence and pasture, which could probably consisted of about 2,000 acres.
How much fence?
Oh, let's see. There was 3 miles on Herman's, and we have there's probably about six to seven miles of fence that we lost. But most of it was on with our neighbors, so it was a cost-share deal, and we both shared it, you know, so.
Yeah.
But right now we're waiting on fence and crew to come out so we can get our inside fences done so we can clear some more cattle out.
It's time to get cattle. So how did you think about, would Ashland burn? You know, they were very concerned and they evacuated it because they thought it would catch on fire.
I didn't know anything about Ashland being evacuated until we headed back from Englewood. And I'm going, it's already there.
Because you're still thinking that fire.
Yeah.
And we don't know anything about
that. We didn't know anything about this fire coming from Denton's or from Couches.
Yeah.
But on my way back, Jeff called me, my brother, and he says, I want you to know the fire has already went through me up here in the Lexington area. And I'm going, now how did the Starbuck fire get clear up there to you? And that's when he told me it come from up there around the lake, and I said, man, we must be fighting two different fires then. But he said, yeah, it's already went through us.
So when did you find out that it really was two fires?
When we left Englewood.
When you left Englewood.
When they finally told us we could leave Englewood, that's when we figured out there was two different fires. And everybody keeps saying this fire was the Starbuck fire. Well, it wasn't the Starbuck fire. Starbuck fire stayed south of Ashland. It didn't run into this other fire until it got out here, just east of Ashland. That's where everything kind of verged together. But if the Starbuck fire would have made it to Ashland, I don't think anything in Ashland would be here.
Yeah. So, okay, like Tuesday, did you stay out north or did you go down south of Ashland?
Tuesday afternoon, after we got the trucks cleaned out, air filters blowed out, filled up fuel and water again. We went back out to my dad's because it flared up again. And we followed it down through Buster Carter's ground. And the grass was, he had some real tall grass in there. And the wind was eating us up. And we had to bug out several times where we just dropped our hoses and drove off with everything dragging behind us because I wasn't going to get ate up by the fire. And Jesse Stebbins, our assistant chief, he was telling us that there was 12 trucks coming from Cowley County.
Right.
And I said, well, if you can find them, send them out here because we need all the help we can get out here because if we don't get stopped here, it's going to go through Dustin Walker's house, which had already been around his house once, but this was coming right at him. And he says, well, I'll see what I can do. And then pretty soon, it was probably 30 minutes, he said, the Calvary's are coming. And sure enough, they brought them all out there.
Yeah. Yeah, and didn't they have 5 trucks or something that they kind of took?
Yeah, they had one of them. They call it a Hemmert. It's an 8-wheel drive. It's most generally used on airport runways.
Mm-hmm.
And they had figured out how to adapt it for the rural fire department. They had to do some extra plumbing. But when they lined up on the fire, they went right down the middle of the fire.
Yeah.
And just kept driving. They never slowed down. The only time they ever slowed down is when one of them, the trucks run out of water and the tanker come up behind them and filled them up. And they went clear to the north end of my dad's. I told Jesse, I said, once you get past us, just keep going north with them. And they put all the fire out up that way.
So, and that was on Tuesday? Part into Wednesday,
yeah.
Or mostly Tuesday?
Mostly Tuesday evening. They got back town just before dark. And
did they go back out?
They stayed in Ashland that night.
Okay.
And actually, I think they stuck around there on Wednesday for a while, and then they decided they'd go home. But, yeah, they come from over there around Atlanta, Kansas. Burden, Kansas.
Some from Americus.
Yeah, Americus. And they're at Winfield. Yeah, they had about 12 trucks.
So when you were out that way, did they use foam?
Yeah, everybody had foam.
Did they foam houses or what?
We foamed Jeff's house. We foamed Garth Gardner's house. We foamed Jerry Rhodes' house.
What about Walker's?
We foamed around it, but there was enough bare ground around Dustin's area out there that the house wasn't ever, I mean, it had to really be a roaring to get to his house because he had it pretty well cleared off around there. It went around his, the first fire that come through there that Monday night, it went around everything, which pretty well cleaned everything up. But then one on Tuesday had rebuilt, and it was coming through some thicker grass and more trees. And
so it was never really extinguished? It just kind of flared back up?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah,
or
you'd
parts?
Think he'd get her under control, and then it looks good, and the wind would come out of a different direction and pick it up again, and away it'd go, and then the wind would switch again. I've never got so many tired of the wind switching on, so I was just hoping it would just stay in one general direction one day for the whole day where we could get this thing under control.
At one speed?
Yeah. And then on Wednesday, I hauled water. Well,
did you get any sleep?
I got a little sleep there when they told us we'd go home.
On Tuesday?
On Tuesday night. Matter of fact, the sheriff's department told us to go home, and if anything come in, they would have somebody else take care of it.
Uh-huh.
And about 1 o'clock in the morning, we got paged out again, and the sheriff was a little upset about us getting paged out, but we went out and put a road ditch fire out up north of town, come back down, reminisced a little bit, and then we all went home, got a little bit of sleep, not much. Once you take a shower and kind of rest a little bit, you just can't really sleep.
Yep. So, what's the most vivid memory of those first days of the fire?
Well, actually, it was a lot of helplessness.
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be when you have a fire, you had somebody else there with you to help you out, and here we was all by ourselves. Everybody else was fighting the same fire we was.
Mm-hmm.
We had no mutual aid. You know, they was fighting fire, the same fire we was fighting. So, you know, I felt helpless.
So how did it feel when you found out their strike teams were coming?
Relieved.
When did they tell you that they had people coming?
Wednesday morning. Wednesday morning they said that we'd get relieved. And I'm going, really? And then that was the reason I was going to haul water. My little brother needed some water because he had no electricity. And our fire chief, Dave, he didn't have no electricity, so I was going to haul water to his horses. And on the way up, before I left Ashland, we got a call that there was a fire up on Stroman's, which had been north of my brother's. And I said, well, this will work out. I'll go up there and help out with that, and then I'll slip down and help Jeff out, and then head on down there to Sitka there for Dave. So while I was sitting, after we got the fire out there, went and filled up my brother's tanks, went to on down to Sitka and filled up Dave's tank, and just as I was getting done filling up, we get paged to go to Snake Creek Ranch. And I called him and said, well, I'm out of water. I'll have to come back to Ashland and get water. And Bill says, well, I'm going to take my tanker down. And I said, okay, I'll just meet you down there. And he goes, okay. So I hauled towards Ashland, and for some reason or other, nobody was moving very fast, amazingly. But I met Bill right on the edge of town, and I said, I won't be far behind you. So we got down to, we went east of, on Snake Creek. Quite a ways east.
So is that Starbuck burning, or is it the two fires now together burning?
Two fires together burning, but all it was another flare up, and the wind shifted out of the southwest. And so it was taking it a different direction. We got it under control, and we was headed back towards the highway, and they said there was a fire on the west side of Mark Lucky's house. So we headed over there, and that's when our relief help was actually out there. And they was forestry people. They didn't have capabilities to ride on the truck in squirt water. They walked in squirt water, and so we passed them several times on the fire line, and I give them water. I sucked out of horse tanks and little cattle tanks down there, and they actually kind of rejected the water because they didn't want all that slime and everything in their tanks. And I said, well, water's water to us, you know. And they was a good bunch of guys. They hung around the firehouse for quite a bit. We all got to talk and discuss things and how they do this and how they get paid for being here. They was actually being paid to come here, which, that was the state of Colorado was paying them.
So what did you think of all the volunteer and all the relief stuff that came in that first week, the fire?
It was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I couldn't believe how many people showed up down here, especially a little old town called Ashland, you know. Yeah. The emergency management done a well of a job. I mean, she had enough help to get things going. They run the 800 radios very well, which I got to use mine for the first time in 7 years having it in the truck.
it was
different talking on it because, you know, we didn't have to go through that our own repeater. It was off the state's repeater. It was a little slow. You had to wait for, when you keyed the mic, you had to wait for it to tell you it was time to talk, because if you started talking, nobody understood what you said because they never got all the message.
Right.
But, yeah.
What about food?
Food. God, I've never seen much food. You know, you come back to town to fill up with water, and there would be kids running out there with sacks of food, you know, tater chips, a lot of different candies and candy bars were melted by then, but
yeah.
You know, and there was a lot of Gatorade. I couldn't believe how much water, bottled water and Gatorade was being delivered to the firehouse, and I'm going, how are we going to get rid of all this, you know? And we're slowly getting in where we make room in the firehouse now to get some more back in the firehouse, because winter's coming on and we can't have it out in the unheated shed.
Yeah.
But I couldn't believe how much.
The eye wash and the...
Oh, yeah, the chapstick. Oh, that was... Eye wash and chapstick, that was the best thing of all. I mean, you know, you can lick your lips all you want to, but after a while, you get so much crud on there and everything, it's just...
Yeah, and the wipes.
Oh, yeah.
Did the wipes help a bunch?
The wipes done good.
Yeah. So, did they let you off? I mean, at some point, were you not on call at all?
Wednesday night. Finally got the call that says, we can go home, turn our radios off, they won't call us. And I said, well, Wednesday night, I think I'll just go to the bar. If we're not going to get called out, I'm going to the bar. And then all of us ended at the bar, and we decided just to tie one on, and and felt terrible the next day. Yeah, it was good to kind of unwind.
Yeah.
That's what we do, just unwind.
So that's kind of like an emotional response to the fire?
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, we had to unwind.
So did everybody, I mean, when you're standing at the bar or around there, did everybody talk about their experiences?
Yeah. Yeah, there were quite a few of us, you know, wondering what we could have done different to make it where we could got in front of the fire instead of behind it.
Did you get any, come to any solutions?
Well, we decided we stayed at Frosty Edgar's too long.
Oh.
And actually, that's where we met the fire. The fire had already went past us.
Because it was moving so fast,
yeah,
with that wind?
And, you know, all we done was run around there and put out spot fires. And, you know, we made a well of a save on Frosty's house. I mean,
yeah,
we found out where his septic tank was and everything like that, and we didn't ruin that for him, but...
That's good.
Yeah. I'm going, because when I pulled in there that Monday, they said, you need to stop there. You can't come any further north. And I go... Well, I was wanting to get on the flat. Well, you're going to have to stay there because the septic tank's in front of you and you'll fall in. And I go, well, I don't want to be in there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we kind of understood that maybe we stayed too long in one spot.
Is there any way to tell, though?
Not really. You know, the way we had fought fire before, we stayed in one spot. We cleaned it all up. When we pulled out, we was done. I mean, there was no more fire. But in this case here, we met it, we fought it, it passed us, and we stayed there and fought the remains.
Yeah.
And then when we left there, we was fighting a whole new fire that got a whole lot bigger,
yeah,
than it was coming at us.
Yeah. So what agencies or people were most helpful?
Well, the emergency management was really good.
All the people that came in to help.
Yep. And all the mutual aid that finally did show up. Not mutual aid, but the
emergency management, the incident people that came in.
Yeah.
Did their expertise or what, their...
Knowledge.
Information, yeah. Did that help any? Did it...
Well, you know, they done a lot of discussing on how to pack it down there and everything, but we never went to one of their meetings. You know, we showed up to the firehouse, we got things ready to go, we jumped in our trucks, we knew where we had to be, we just went and done it. And people, nobody ever told us we was doing anything wrong. or told us that we should have been somewhere else. And, you know, they done their job, we done ours, everybody got along. And it was Wednesday evening when I got back town. I went down there and I told them, I said, if you get any calls from anybody needing water for their livestock or anything like that, call me. I will haul them water, because at this point in time, I'm more or less in a standstill. I can help you out that way. And yeah. Didn't get any calls or anything, but
were their tanks they burned
did.
Up?
There was one group of firefighters from Colorado that was down on Gardner's. They called me up and wanted me to bring them some water. So I went down there and set for the day and give them 1,500 gallons of water.
Yeah. It's so like,
And that had been on Wednesday evening. And that's when Dave says, you can't stay down there past dark, George, because you need to unwind.
Yeah.
And I said, all right.
Yeah. So did you have any physical effects from the fire? Were you sore? Were you just tired, or were you?
No, I didn't get hurt. You know, I was tired, yes, but.
Nobody got hurt, basically?
Nobody got hurt. I think a few guys got kind of bunged up on the back of the trucks a little bit, but nothing serious, you know, to where they had to go to the hospital or anything like that.
No wind burns or
no
smoke inhalation or anything?
No, other than the smoke, yeah. Everybody had that. We was coughing up junk all week long, but, you know, it was.
Things in your eyes?
Yeah. That was
a lot of ash.
That was good to have the eye wash. When they told us we had eye wash, I said, all right. And I went in and grabbed a couple bottles, throwed them in the truck, and I used one bottle up just in a half a day, you know, just trying to get crud out of my eyes. I didn't have no glasses on. I don't wear glasses anymore, so I didn't wear any glasses. I had sunglasses, but once it got dark, I had to throw them away.
Yeah.
Throw them on the dash, and then I didn't see them again. I don't know where they went to.
Does your family have any stories of range fires? I mean, do they talk about anything?
My dad, I asked him if he ever seen anything like this in his lifetime, and he said, no, this is the first time I've ever seen anything this big. And I go, well, that's good, I guess.
Yep. But there's no real experience of how to fight this. Was this completely different than any other fire you'd ever fought?
Oh, yeah. Fires we've had before, you know, you go to the fire line, you set up, you get squirt water, put it out, might be there for a half a day or a day, but once you put it out, you go home, you're done. You don't go back unless somebody calls you and say, we got a hot spot.
Right.
You know, this deal here was, it was moving too fast, and it passed us at Frosty's. And we played catch up the rest of that rest 2 days.
Yep. And so, does it make you feel guilty when people say they never saw a firefighter? They never saw a fire truck?
I felt bad for losing houses.
But was there anything you really could have done about it? I mean,
no, not much, but just the fact that, you know.
Too much?
Too much. Too much. Too big. Too many fires in one day.
Yeah. So, let me see. Anything good come out of the fire? Something positive?
Yeah.
Lots of things?
Next time that Dave calls me, I'm going to tell him it'll work.
We're going to work cows instead of doing this.
We're going to work cows. And it was kind of a funny deal there. My brother was... What he was doing, he had some heifers, and he was processing, going to make cows out of them. And it seemed like every time we went up there to help on process these heifers, there was a fire.
Ooh.
I told Jeff, I said, if there's anything that comes out of this deal, them heifers better have calves, because every time we've come up there, there's been a fire somewhere, and it's we've been delayed, and so they definitely better be bred.
So, from this experience, are there any ways that you can, kind of prepare for a future fire? I mean,
you know, after this deal and watching them guys that, from Colorado and how they do their thing in New Mexico and all them other hotshot crews that come in, kind of made me think, well, you know, if there's another fire somewhere else, maybe we ought to go return the favor and help them out. But, you know, there's just no way that we can get off for a week in that and take our trucks out of the barn to go fight a fire somewhere else.
Were these all professional firefighters?
Yeah.
That's their job? They get paid for it?
They get paid for it. They get paid by the state that they come from.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't get paid by us. They was paid when they put in their time card up there where they left at, and when they got back, they put their time card in, and that's how they got paid.
Yep. So, was there any, like, destruction of equipment and that type of stuff?
No, well, we had some breakdowns. We had one six-by there that was at the fire at Inglewood, and it lost us a stabilizer bar on the rear end, so it was out of service the whole day of Monday, and we didn't get it back in line until Tuesday night when we Tuesday night, because we come back in, we got everything put back in the barn, and this guy, there was a guy that worked on the windmill tires up here, he had a service truck, he said he'd donate his time and his truck to go down there and do it. And he went down there and stuck it on.
Cool.
We brought the truck home. It was back in service.
Yeah.
But,
so after the fire, after it's all over, everybody's left and stuff, did you guys have some downtime or that you got together and talked about what happened?
Yeah, we did have a bunch of people come in. We had a little get-together where everybody discussed what they'd done and how they got along. And
did you find out stuff you didn't know about?
Found out things that, you know, you just didn't realize anybody else was coping with. And you know, there was a lot of tears.
Yeah. So, but was it helpful? Did it help you deal with the emotions and that type of stuff?
Yeah, it kind of cleaned everything out of my mind, you know, a little bit. Made me feel a little better.
Yep.
I got to get it off my chest, let's say.
Yeah. Because they were professional people they brought in to talk to you, right?
Yeah.
And then also, were all the firemen there that were
pretty
at the fire?
Well, all the firemen was there. Yeah. You know, and there was a lot of talking that, you know, I didn't understand that everybody else's positions and, or, you know, how they worried about their family and everything. Well, I didn't have a family, so other than my dad, and my brother was taking care of him, but we got a lot of stuff off our chest.
Yep. So did you have any financial losses yourself from the fire?
Other than the fence and the grass.
Yeah. Because you saved the implements, basically.
Yeah, saved all of our implements. And like I say, my dad, it never got cleared his house. We was able to get it turned and run over on Max Amos's ground. And the only thing I was a little upset about was the fire stopped at the highway on 160. It should have jumped the highway at the Halstein place and burnt that tree grove out.
Yeah, okay. So let's talk a little bit.
It died there.
What surprised you about the way this fire moved? I mean,
it
didn't do that, but it burnt this house, but it left the pickup standing beside it.
There was stuff I really couldn't understand how it burned this, but didn't burn that.
Yeah.
You know, there's two or three houses around here that should have went up. You know, the Holstein house should have burnt.
Yeah.
The old Sleepy Gibson house here east town here should have burnt. I mean, the fire went clear around it.
Mm-hmm.
Burnt the barn right next to it.
Yeah.
But didn't burn the house, and it had weeds all the way around it. It should have burnt.
Think it was just moving too fast or jumped it?
Was
the fire too high in the air or something?
I don't know what was the problem there. You know, even out like at the cemetery. How did it burn just half the cemetery and then burn the other half?
Yeah. And go up this way.
Yeah, you should have went. If the wind was out of the northwest, it should have went right on across everything at the cemetery.
But it went east. I mean.
It went south. And then
it went east, yeah.
Yeah.
But it didn't burn the Catholic part.
No.
And it didn't burn the part south of the chapel.
No.
Go figure.
You know, I couldn't figure out, well, maybe these souls over here were sitting there putting the fire out.
Yeah. Who knows? What about the community? How the community stepped up?
You know, there was the night we got to unwind, we went to the bar, and one of our county commissioners was in there, Mr. Daly.
Mm-hmm.
And him and his family had supper or something, and we sat around there discussing this and trying to get stuff off our chest, you know, how we could have done something different. And he walked over to us. He says, "You guys just stay in here all night if you want to. I've got the bill covered."
Ooh.
And we all pretty well drank all night long.
Till midnight.
Yeah, until midnight. And then we got ready to leave. There was no bill for anybody.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know if he paid for it all or if the bar chipped in and gave us all a break.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. Nobody said anything. So, you know, but it was good. We had a good time. I got to unwind a little bit, which we needed to unwind. But, yeah. You know, there was nobody, even the people that lost their houses, did not complain, wondering why we wasn't there. Because the fire moved so fast, they knew we was behind. And even if we would have stayed at Ashland instead of going to Beaver or Englewood,
mm-hmm.
I don't think we could have slowed it down.
You know,
all the trucks we had with all the foam, I don't think we could have slowed it down, you know.
Yeah.
So it was just one of them deals that it outrun us.
Do you think if you'd had more people at first, it would have helped, or would it just cause more chaos?
I think it'd been more chaotic. They probably got somebody hurt.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Nobody hurt?
Well, everybody knew it wouldn't have bug out. You know,
yeah.
When I finally run out of water at Frosty's, I told Dave then, I said, "Man, I'm out of water. Bill's sitting in Englewood waiting for me to get there before he can come this way." And he goes, "Well, we're leaving. We've done all we can do here." And I said, "God, I'd say so." But it took me close to an hour to drive from there to Englewood. And then when we got to Englewood, it was a fight to save Englewood. Because it was coming right up behind us. Because the wind swished again. So all the fire that had went by us,
mm-hmm.
was burning, and then when the wind switched back, it shoved all that fire, the flank of it, back down to us, and we fought all that. We saved quite a bit in Englewood. I mean, Englewood didn't burn down. At least they still got the gas station and the restaurant there. They still got the bed and breakfast house there.
Post office.
Post office still there.
Yeah.
I mean, the water tower is still there. Their wells are still good. You know, it pumps sorry water, but, you know, water's water at a time like that. It doesn't matter to me how dirty it is, as long as we can use it.
You're not drinking it, so
no, I'm not
bad.
Drinking it.
Nope. So, do you have any other thoughts about this experience? Is there anything that stands out in your mind, or?
Maybe I'll retire. Been on here for a long time.
Yeah?
Been on the fire department now since 70. Well, I started when I got out of high school. I was a rookie.
I think it's 78.
And I had to stay on until I was 21 to be voted on because of the alcohol they consumed at the firehouse at that time. But I think I got voted on around 75 or 76. Mm-hmm. I know I got voted on before Dawn, I got there. But, I've been on it a long time. I don't know if I've been around long enough to say I'm the oldest running fireman on the fire department or not. You know, I know the firemen that was behind me, a lot of them guys probably was on there for 10 or 20 years. I don't know.
The only one I can think of is maybe Johnny Coverdale.
Yeah.
And Bob Baker.
Bob Baker. Yeah.
I don't know how many years they were on there, but they were on a whole bunch, I'm sure. So if you were to retire and the fire whistle went off, what would you do?
I'd go up there and see what's going on. I told my dad I thought I ought to slow down.
Yeah?
He goes, you know you ain't going to do it. That pager goes off, or you'll hear it on the scanner, and you'll be at the firehouse.
I said,
yeah, I'll probably have to wait until they tell me I can't get on a truck down there anymore.
Right, until they tell you you can't drive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's been good.
So, who was in the Chiefs in the Suburban? Did they take the Suburban out?
Yeah, J.D. had it.
And did they take 55? Oh, I know Don White and...
55, Jesse was driving 55. He had the other 800 number.
Yeah.
Radio. And
so most of them have two or three people on each truck?
Yeah, we had at least two people on each truck.
So when they were going through the smoke, were they inside the cab?
No.
They were on the back?
There was one in the drive and one on the back.
So how'd they keep from getting too much smoke?
You just squirt water. You know, if you squirt the water in front of you, the water carries the smoke away.
Right.
But it also carries more oxygen back at you where you can kind of get some cleaner air.
Yeah.
It's and a lot of them had a smoke mask. We've got masks at the firehouse that you can wear that cuts the smoke. You know, you don't cut at all, but it makes it where you can breathe cleaner air.
Yeah.
I myself, in the tanker, I don't wear one of them because I'm not in it that deep as they are. But
so they all wear their wildland gear and they wear their helmets and everything.
Yeah.
So has the training that they've been going through the last couple of years?
Several years.
Is it helping?
Yeah, I think it's paying off. You know, but... It's like I told Chief this year, I said, you know, I've been to all these classes two or three times, four times, some of them five times. I'm getting kind of burned out on it, you know. So if we're going to have more classes, you better get some new blood in here because, man, I'm just getting wore out on the same thing. I enjoy seeing the teacher.
Yeah.
And I know John Lloyd's a good teacher and everything, but... Yeah,
he has some good stories. But.
Oh, yeah. Stories, and
Yeah.
And he's got some good videos to watch, you know.
Yeah.
And we get to eat good food.
Yeah. All that's good, but.
You know, after a while, you get to repeating yourself.
Yeah.
You know, but. I think the next class will be a driver's operator, I think.
They're going to bring the trailer out?
I think we're trying to get on the list for it.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah.
It's a long class, though, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be a long 40-hour deal.
Yeah, whole week of stuff, so.
Yeah, I think Dave said it's going to, if we start it, we got to start like on a Tuesday, and it'll go right through Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, Saturday will be all hands-on.
Yep. Yep. So, you got anything else?
No. Okay. I think that'd be it.
Okay. Let me turn this off.